Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for December 12th, 2015. And it's my great cosmic pleasure to be interviewing David Christopher Lewis on Cosmic Love today. You may have noticed at the Cosmic Love homepage that David was my featured guest back on April 18th as well as on August 8th of this year. And those two shows discussed David's book release of Saint Germain on Advanced Alchemy, Heart Streaming in the Aquarian Age. So the show today provides the third interview in a trinity of shows with David that highlight Cosmic Love's 2015 theme of global shift to conscious evolution revelations with a more enlightened awareness of our personal and planetary divine destiny. Those who are listening today who have known David through his global heart center community don't need any introduction, but for those new to this messenger of the Ascended Masters, I highly recommend listening to a cornucopia of heart streams from the Masters through David at his website, heartcenter.org. Today, David will share the story of the new release of his latest book, Living a Soulful Life, which is about Afra's new teaching on love, brotherhood, and freedom. A very timely teaching considering world affairs today. Here's a quote that rather sums it up about this book. This quote is from Kevin Fitch, author of Celestial Configurations of Africa and the Caribbean. The quote, "If you have ever wondered what true brotherhood is, read this book, for in the sacred space of your reading, you will feel its essence in new and profound ways. You will see it as a fundamental principle inherent in the harmony of nature and the rhythm of the universe, and not some lofty ideal beyond our reach to be attained in some distant future. Afra's loving soulfulness, saturating each letter of each word, will set the cosmic record straight as it sets your heart, mind, and soul on a journey toward embodying the light of true brotherhood now." Thank you, David, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thanks, Christopher. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about going into this book. I'm just fascinated with so many dimensions of it. It's one of those books you can open up just about at any point and get some profound depth of inspiration on brotherhood and the one solution I see to the world's problems today. And I was reading in the afterword of this book that you seem to have a karmic or a dharmic tie, you might say, to Africa that you became aware of decades ago. And then about 10 years ago, you had the beautiful picture of Afra commissioned that's on the cover of the book. Could you go into that a little bit for the background?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd just like to say, even though we use the term brotherhood, we are totally inclusive of the feminine gender, all women, sisters, of course, because in this context, brotherhood means a oneness of all of us, of both genders. So I own an art gallery for 10 years in Livingston, Montana, on Main Street, and there was a fantastic local artist named Marius Michael George, who was born in Romania, studied in Europe, and then in New York, and then moved to Minneapolis, and then finally to Montana. And I desired an image of an ascended being known as Afra that was dynamic and beautiful because we had all these other images of either Eastern masters from India or Western masters like Jesus. Yet I had communed with this master for quite some time with my work on behalf of the African continent when I used to handle the international mail for another organization. And I had written a prayer, and that story is in the afterword. But the image that Marius painted is absolutely phenomenal. It's one of the best New Age images I've ever seen of an ascended being. So we had to put it on the cover because it really is a story all in itself. And I commissioned this before the Heart Center began. It was, I believe it was in 2004, early 2004, or maybe even earlier. And it took Marius quite some time. I framed it up, or actually he framed it up with a beautiful gold frame, and I had it in my art gallery for a while, and then a friend of mine, who subsequently became the president of the Heart Center and was for 4 years, purchased it from me because she really resonated with it. So she actually owns the original now. Mm-hmm. I'm just so grateful that this beautiful image is gracing the cover of this book because this is one of my life's works, and the book is 1895. It's called Living a Soulful Life, offers new teaching on love, brotherhood, and freedom. And this is the first volume. We intend to have another. The book is 1895, and we'll get more into that shortly.
You know, the story of Afra was new to me. I mean, I knew of ancient history as taught by the, you know, Ascended Masters of Lemuria and the civilization about 70,000 years ago in the Saharan, which is the Sahara Desert now in Africa. And I was fascinated reading about the record of that in your book and the tie going all the way back. And since then, this soul who is in repeated incarnations in Africa. And if, for some people, this may seem a little strange. Those who know of you, David, and over the years, you know, those in the Heart Center who have listened to your heart streams or these dictations from the different ascended masters, credible and understandable. And I know a lot of people in the Heart Center have had experience with the teachings of the ascended masters going back for decades. And recently, for a person that's new to you and your work in the Heart Center, I really encourage them to check out that the page, at heartcenter.org. And the reason I do that is because your recent dictations, for example, these heart streams from Lord Krishna, the Mahachohan, Lord Maitreya, December 6th and December 2nd, Jesus on Thanksgiving Day, Archangel Raphael before that, and just this last several weeks, what's coming through you, and of course we all know that those who know you that you can't make this stuff up. You're not reading it. You're not reading it, and it's coming through you.
God in me is the real thing, you know. This Master Afra is the divine patron of Africa. And with the conflict that's going on around the world right now, this is the perfect time for the release of this book because there's so much, violence and misunderstanding and racial tension. And an understanding of brotherhood and freedom and love brings into play a divine dynamic for resolution of conflict so that we can get along. We can look at life through the other's perspective and eyes and walk in their moccasins. We can divest ourselves of our personal predilections that take us out of this unity field of beingness outside of duality, and we can enter that state of beingness that Eckhart Tolle and others have talked about, where we move beyond conflict. We can communicate lovingly and compassionately. We can communicate with conscious language so that the things that we say don't irritate others and bring up age-old records and memories of slavery or other things that where people feel devalued and not appreciated, and they feel almost like animals. You know, it's a time when we have to rise in consciousness to be one. And how do we do that? This book gives many keys, and the words are sublime. The Master Afra is such an exponent of truth and unity, and he comes at these topics of soulfulness and brotherhood and freedom and love from so many different angles to give us the nuances of these higher spiritual truths, principles, values, and teachings that are cutting edge for right now. And when we apply them with the mantras and the prayers and the meditation practice, and we actually learn how to emanate light, we can help be there to support him and his work to dissolve planetary conflict. So we don't have to have world wars. We don't have to have the eruption of reactivity across the globe and in our own nation, you know, with what's happened in Missouri, Chicago, New York, and elsewhere, and the police shootings, etc. All of this can be prevented, transmuted, and it takes the conscious light worker to enter into the spirit of brotherhood so that we can effuse this through our hearts and through our minds and through our souls. And I think this book, above many that I've ever read elsewhere, talks about the soul as a key, you know, living a soulful life. What is that? Even Oprah now on her Sundays, on her OJ show, you know, it's called Soulful Sundays. And I'm seeing myself, maybe with a couple friends, being on that show to share this book so that people of all races, all cultures, can know what soulfulness is and what that means and how we even talk about our soul, access our soul consciousness, and move into this greater, deeper, collective understanding of our oneness.
Well, I've believed for some time and been writing about extensively this last year that there's a, some would say, a thinning of the veil, and I refer to it as a shift in a collective conscience with a capital C, largely because of the social conscience that's being cultured in social networks worldwide with the instant everywhere interactive internet. It's just like we are a global village now in principle, and there's a spherical awareness that's being cultured with our new net reality where we're becoming conscious of how we're conscious. And the whole concept of, to me, resonates with this book of soulfulness that, you know, the I am the other, you know, that there's a unity or this brotherhood or sisterhood that it's like we are connected in reality, net reality, I refer to it, as never before in history. And there is a surge of enlightenment, I believe, you know, in the collective consciousness of humanity. And there's a principle where light brings up all that's unlike itself, and there's an agitation, naturally an agitation that goes with this, and of course we're seeing that outplayed in world events. I think the Middle East represents the nexus of the collective consciousness of humanity, and so a lot of what's going on in the Middle East, you know, where Africa meets Europe and the East and the West, I mean, it's like there's a
powder keg.
it's a powder keg, yeah. And of course, it's a transmutation transformation keg also. And it's everyone's watching it. You know, everyone in the world is watching this. And everyone
Brinkley, Daniel Brinkley told me 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, watch Syria when I was on a cruise with him. Hey, I'd like to read from the first page of the book, which is actually page 3. You're talking about the collectivity. The master says, when you experience the state of awareness of brotherhood within your soul, there is a divine comprehension of the essence of every other soul that is connected to you. You feel at a deep level of beingness the essence of others as a part of yourself and your essence as a part of the greater soul awareness of all sons and daughters of God. Though there is a specificity and a differentiation in each one's evolutionary path and experience, at this level of awareness, there's a profound glory that may be known by each one, the glory of God through this antakarana of the eternal brotherhood of the Spirit. So at your core is God, and God's flow is the effusion of brotherhood through this essence of Godhood. And so, you know, the connectivity and the collectivity is really important.
The antakarana, or the web of light, as the ancients in the East, as they referred to that, is is an exquisite metaphor for the web of consciousness that's being the network with the World Wide Web. I mean, it's really there is this web of light as conscience. You know, I've really believe that there's the understanding of the language of light as consciousness, of consciousness, full spectrum light, and of course the understanding of the great white brotherhood is not referring to race. It's referring to the full spectrum of all the different races, you know, and how all the different colored bands of the spectrum make white light. And we have, you know, in the book, your book, the understanding of the violet race and the blue race, going back 70,000 years, there were civilizations that, you know, had different colors than we have today. But the understanding of the violet race and the violet flame, the Holy Spirit, and the indigo blue and the indigo children that are coming in, and of course the language of light, like, you know, gold and yellow, the brightest of all colors perceptually, and green and yellow are right in the middle of the color spectrum in angstrom units. It's like the physics and the physicality of light and the spirituality of light as conscience, is that understanding is emerging in the world with, again, metaphorically, you know, with the internet, and it's speeding everything up because it's instant, it's everywhere, it's interactive globally, and, you know, so the rate of change is kind of coming to this, but Greg Braden refers to a zero point, you know, which is really a zero spherical global conscience, you know, and I like to think of the I Am presence descending, you know, of the sphere of light into the earth, and that earth, and I really believe that earth is resonating with cosmos right now, and it's part of the whole 28,000 year or 26,000 year procession of the equinox, that our you know, solar system has come into alignment with the galactic plane and its orbit up and across and below the galactic plane. And this, the last time this happened was 14,000 years ago, or 12,000 years ago, 13,000, Atlantis, you know, because it's a sine wave curve as our solar system orbits around, you know, the great central sun of the galaxy. And this
So in this book, I go into a lot of this history, and let me just read you something else. This is from page 33, which is kind of an alchemical number. It says, I felt God's love. Oh, the question, this was a Darshan question. The first part of the book is 33 questions and answers. So someone asked, how did you maintain mindfulness of your oneness with God on a daily basis? This is one of the most beautiful quotes of the book. It says, I felt God's love present within my heart and His spirit within my soul. I sat in great awe of the goodness and the all-beingness of the divine. I looked into the sun, and I saw within that sun a violet stream entering my own soul and nourishing my soul toward its purpose. I allowed the cosmic stream of radiance of the eternal flame to grow within me daily. I felt its impulse stamped upon every cell of my being, activating the higher frequencies of solar joy within me, so that those unto whom I was sent in my mission could feel that spirit of solar joy emanating even unto them. If you can visualize the stream of solar joy at the level of your soul emanating constantly in a cosmic activity of sacred fire, you can raise the entire astral plane by the momentum of light that you carry within your being on behalf of the divine. It takes conscious presence and awareness to see that violet stream bubbling, radiating forth, transmuting and raising life at all levels. So this is just, by the way, there's 16 beautiful images in the center of the book from a Canadian artist named Slavka Kolsar. And there's three major sections in the book, and the four appendices, charts in the back, lists of all the nations in Africa for us to pray for, because this book is partly about the mission of AFRA within the African continent to raise the consciousness of all the peoples there. And it's about raising all of our consciousness so that we can, wherever we are upon Earth, work as one toward a golden crystal age of Aquarius?
Well, I want to get more back into the darshan with this different students of Afra. We're going to have a little bit of a station break right now.
Okay.
This is Christopher Rudy interviewing David Lewis of the Heart Center Community, and we're discussing the release of David's new book, Living a Soulful Life, that you can purchase at the Heart Center website, which is www.heartcenter.org. That's one word for Heart Center with an S in the middle. You can also purchase a bottle of Swedish pollen extract through the Heart Center. This is a highly concentrated royal jelly, which is nature's most potent superfood for building the immune system and preventing sickness. This natural nutraceutical-grade extract from microscopic pollen is actually used by immunologists and oncologists worldwide for building the immune system in a serious health crisis. A generous supply of the Swedish pollen extract has been donated to the Heart Center so that 100% of your purchase will go to their fundraiser for the publishing cost of their new book, Living a Soulful Life. So try a bottle of nature's most potent superfood that has only positive side effects, with more immunity resistance to colds or flu, or lack of energy for health in general. And support the publishing costs for Living a Soulful Life at the same time.
So there you have it. And I thought I would put a plug in there for the book as well as the pollen extract. But I wanted to get back to this understanding of darshan. Now, what the meaning of darshan? You have it's a sharing of information or wisdom regarding different subjects. In this regard, students of Afra ask these questions. And could you explain how that a major portion of the book goes into that exchange?
Yeah, the darshan, the actual meaning that we have in our glossary in the back, it says a sacred experience of intimate communion with a live master. Darshan often occurs in close proximity. It's the sharing of teaching through discourse and or answering of questions either by the master or the devotees and by the radiation conveyed. So in the Heart Center movement, the Ascended Masters desire aspirants to rise into their own Christic and Buddhic awareness to discern by the Holy Spirit the truths of higher gnosis through their own direct connection with their presence or higher self. So even though I am kind of a spokesperson, I always lead people back to the divine within, and that's what the masters do. So these 33 questions were posed a number of years ago by a group of people who have been meeting every Sunday for 9 years. Every Sunday, they pray for about two hours, Sunday afternoons, and they pray for Africa. They do all kinds of spiritual work and a number of issues surrounding, Africa, the African Americans in the United States, and issues related to, that are important to them. So they, at one point, Afra told me that he would like to prepare for a book, and one component of it would be these 33 questions. So they met for a couple weeks to just get the questions, and some of them are really awesome. And, the one I just read about maintaining oneness, there's one, chapter 21, that's one of my favorites. And the question was, Beloved Afra, what is your cosmic role in relationship to the continent and the people of Africa? And I already mentioned at the beginning of the show that Afra is like the divine patron of Africa. But he says, I am a unifier of the fire within the hearts of millions. I am the example of a true son of God who understands the solar nature of beingness. I am a deliverer of souls through the spirit of brotherhood. I am a true brother of all peoples, of all lands. I am the essence of freedom. My role is to roll back the darkness and to expose the truth for all to see. My role is to roll out a new carpet of violet joy, divine laughter, with an infusion of so much cosmic power through the new light that is dawning that soon people will not even recognize themselves. I am an arbiter of this divine destiny of Africa. I am he whom Moses knew
within his soul when the spirit of the I am that I am spoke. I am he whom he felt within his soul when he stood and raised his arms and the Red Sea was parted. I am he who stood with Joshua and with Archangel Michael to call forth a specific frequency of light to dissolve the walls of Jericho. I am he who stood behind Martin Luther King to declare that the people of the black race within America must be freed. I am he who spoke through Malcolm X and through many others who have felt the fire of the urgency of the moment to deliver the truth at all costs. I am he who could deliver you from your own not-self daily if you would have God fully blazing within your being. I am he who stood behind the Lord Jesus when he said, I am he. And the power of that I am statement and its energy caused those who are not of the light to fall. So I just thought that was poignant because he is a powerful master. In fact, when I feel his energy, I feel his aura out, I would say, close to about 2 blocks from where I am. I mean, that it's that huge. That's wow. How large his auric field is and the power that this divine master wields for the earth.
Now, he actually did reunite Africa at different cycles, over, and it was he had that power in his aura to bring people into a unity consciousness, as I understand. I mean,
there was a golden age 70,000 years ago, and he was a key person during that time. He was like a Christ figure. He would walk around like Jesus did and heal people. He was pure compassion, pure kindness. Sometimes he would do things without people knowing that it was he doing them. At other times, it was so real and so sublime that people would weep at his feet for and gratitude for his intercession in their lives. So he was like the African or the black Christ figure for that entire age. In fact, just this past week, we heard from the Maha Chohan that actually Afra was a Maha Chohan, which means high Chohan, or the head guy, during a cycle of his time on Earth. He actually held that office, which is an office in spiritual hierarchy, over the Chohans of the race. So that means he has just supreme attainment and supreme love, and is just a phenomenal servitor.
Well, I just opened again this one section that I keep coming back to, where, and this is page 143, the chapter 4, understanding the fire of God within each heart is the key to brotherhood. And, of course, that spiritual fire. And it goes into this, there's dimensions of this book that just has the words are like cups of light that just hold so much, fiery spirit of and again, from a perspective, in my perspective, it's like there's all these different perspectives in this book. They're like like the fragments of a hologram, that are integrated, and you look at the soul of Afra from these different perspectives, and you really get a sense of, oh my goodness, this would be a great soul like Gandhi, or this would be a great soul like, one of the great cosmic beings that come to Earth, to like Krishna or Lord Maitreya or Gautama Buddha, and you see that the from the perspective of his life and the ages that he lived in, and the different heart streams that came through him. And I wanted to ask you about this. The Darshans, when these teachings were given and the questions were asked, was this a live dictation that was transcribed, or did you offer yes. come through you and to write this out in response to the questions?
Yeah, we met by phone at the time, and then I would just dictate, he would dictate the answer to the questions. They were transcribed and then edited for the book. A lot of this happened in 2007 and 2008.
I've been to Africa 3 times, been to Ghana, and Afra's retreat is over Accra, Ghana, which is the heart chakra of the African continent. And he works today very directly and consciously with what's known as the African Council, and there are, I believe, let's see, 14 members of the African Council, and he serves as kind of the captain or the leader of it. Saint Germain's on that council. Simon the Cyrenian, who was actually black. Zarathustra, who's a great master that you may have heard of, Zoroastrianism. Portia, Saint Germain's twin flame, is on that council. Arcturus and Victoria both are also on that council. So it's a pretty important council because of all the millions of people that live on the African continent. What's going on there? There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of, some strife here and there. There's a lot of development of resources, but unfortunately, by Western powers and China that take the natural elements from that continent, in an inordinate way, leaving the people kind of penniless often, and slavery is still kind of there, just in a different context. So there's a lot of spiritual work to be done, and Afra is inspiring his, what we call his brothers and sisters, who meet every Sunday in ways that are very wonderful, to be passionate of their mission to help hold this balance of light, to prevent destruction, to mitigate all manner of, agitating forces and reactivity and violence, and to bring about peace and true brotherhood. And we can do it. It's something that it takes directed, focused spiritual work on a regular basis, and this is what's been going on now for 9 years through this group of people that are awesome. So those folks came up with these questions, and the answers are beautiful, and I've been privileged to, I'm rereading the book, even though I've read it probably 5 times during the editing process. I'm rereading it now that it's done in print because I find stuff that's still new.
Yeah, and the pictures are beautiful. They remind me of the Russian artist Rorik, Nicholas Rorik. A lot of these images, the different masters, and they're really inspired. I was going to mention, my son Jeremy was over in Africa this last year. He's working with the company that does the communications infrastructure for education in villages. And he says that that's one of the fastest-growing areas of the world, with education through these tablets and smartphones, mobile devices. And he said he was amazed about how much China has invested in Africa, and they're doing a lot more than just extracting resources. They're doing a lot more for community building and cultural. Infrastructure for building communities and strengthening communities than the West is doing, which has ironically been more exploitive. It was pretty good insight from my son about that this is transforming very quickly. And again, the education of remote villages that are now they're put a little hub in the village, which is a server, and the server will have all the educational material, and everyone will get a little tablet, or a tablet. Of course, in the cities they have smartphones to connect with the world, but it's like there's this connection that's going on with education and global culture that is entirely new. It's like they've leaped a lot of technological development, and now they've got they're getting state-of-the-art stuff in a lot of the villages and communities, and I thought that was fascinating.
Wow, yeah. I have to say the people in Ghana are some of the most beautiful people I've ever met. The children have great light in their eyes. We only saw 2 people smoking in the whole country, and they were Europeans. They don't sell cigarettes anymore. And
yeah,
they're just beautiful people. I've been to Egypt, we had a pilgrimage there in 2006. 99 people went on it. And that's where the master asked for this Afra group to meet and pray together. And they've done that. And then we've been to South Africa a couple times, to both Cape Town and Johannesburg. And we have four groups in South Africa that get together and pray, and they broadcast. And I will give live messages from different masters once a month through South Africa. So that's ongoing. And we have another messenger, actually, in South Africa. Her name is Annalena. She is clairvoyant, and she received direct messages from the masters and shares them through an ancillary website, Osiris Rising, which people can check out, and they're very beautiful, and she sends out newsletters, and she's the real thing. I corroborate what she says, and she corroborates what I say, and I hear, she sees, and she's just, when the masters come through me, she's just often in tears because she sees the beauty and the radiance that they are projecting out to the world and what they're doing to bless us, to charge the atmosphere of the earth with light, to raise our consciousness, and to impart engrams and seeds of light and into so many regions through our spiritual work. And it's wonderful to have souls who can corroborate that what we're doing is real and beneficial, because, of course, you know, people question whether it's all real if they don't see it or they don't feel it. I feel it, and I hear it, yet my clairvoyance is not developed like hers, so it's pretty amazing. But Africa is an amazing continent, and I think that there a lot more will be said about it. You know, somebody asked me, what happened to Martin Luther King? Did he make his ascension? And you mentioned China earlier, and the answer was that he chose to re-embody in China, because that was an area of the globe that required his freedom flame, his power to help liberate the Chinese people from the kind of a totalitarian type state. And we've seen a lot of changes through, you know, commercialism now. But it gave me hope for that continent to have a great soul like Martin Luther King, who was, you know, even though he had his human foibles, and that's, they've been documented too, his words of wisdom were profound, and he carried his mission forward to help liberate people in the United States from the onslaughts of, you know, the continuity of the effects of slavery, and black people didn't have a vote, they didn't have equal rights. So it's changed a lot, and even though there's still issues and there's a lot of work to be done, it's much better now than it was, you know, during his life. And so he's carrying, I think, that momentum to China. And I think that we're going to see some major changes there, too.
I believe that. Of course, the people of the heart in China are like the people of the heart in America and Africa and Europe. But the institutionalized systems of the world are different, with different language and frames of reference for that heart to emerge. And I really believe that the people of China are being transformed very quickly by a new social conscience. With the internet over there has really transformed the things very quickly over there. When I say that, the Eastern people are more family and social conscience oriented than Western people. Western peoples are more left brain individualistic, and Eastern people are more right brain and collectivist and intuitive. And of course, collectivism, you've got the light side of collectivism and you've got the dark side, just like you've got the light side and the dark side of individualism in America, you know. So it's kind of a but the internet is social networks, intrinsically culture, have a tendency to culture social conscience, and it's taking on a different form in the West than it is in the East, and it's transforming the East very quickly in many ways, I'm very hopeful that Martin will rise up and take command.
Yeah, maybe his name will be, Ling or something. You know, another interesting tidbit that's not really in the book, but it'll probably be in the volume two, has to do with Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
Madiba, and he recently, well, I was doing a darshan kind of on his behalf through South Africa, and it was shared that, you know, he made his ascension and that he had been embodied as this chief named Madiba, who he was in turn named after, who had lived in like the 17th century, I believe, and he was a great, great chief that had great respect throughout the entire region of South Africa, or what's now South Africa.
Huh.
And so he re-embodied and chose that name. Of course, he was named Nelson by a white person when he went to school, but he kind of returned to his tribal roots and to an understanding of his heritage and left a beautiful legacy of forgiveness, reconciliation, through the work that he did after having been in prison for 27 years, a lot of that time on Robben Island, which we visited when we went to South Africa. And, of course, you know, there are issues still, and, you know, there's pilfering, there's violence, there's rape. However, with education, with equal opportunity, with a greater functioning economy, a lot of these issues can be resolved, and people can, through the collective spirit of unity and brotherhood and love and freedom, return to our divine roots, whereby as one we can move forward past all this conflict, past our historical anomalies of slavery, etc., and we can enter a new age of true divine friendship with one another, all cultures, all peoples. And it's kind of a true United Nations, not what we have today.
Yeah.
Which, I've never been to New York and witnessed some of what transpires. There's a lot of manipulation, a lot of issues. It's a true United Nations of hearts that are working toward one common goal, not of a one world government, but a unity among all peoples.
Yeah, I like to think of it as all the rays of the color spectrum creating a full spectrum light of unity, you know, global enlightenment towards a golden age. And I really believe it's happening. I mean, my concept is that, you know, and my aspiration is that a man of God or wholeness will see God or wholeness in all man. And in the world, and I mean, there's, I think, really sparks of light, and with great souls, you know, the incarnating now from the past, and that, you know, just Afra, Mandiba, you know, the name and the flame are the same. The soul carries through in different embodiments, and you see that manifesting, and I really think that. Part of the thing about the internet is that the potential of it is referencing with social conscience, a unity conscience, where people will take the best examples of brotherhood or sisterhood or, you know, of social conscience, and that those will rise, you know, in a true universal United Nations. They will rise like cream to the top. You know, the highest concepts of how we can cooperate, coordinate, and, you know, for global communications and global healthcare, telecare, and telecom that, you know, brings us, you know, into a unity consciousness and a true United Nations. And I sense that, and it's woven, like I say, like aspects of a hologram, you know, in the book. On living a soulful life, and of course, I think that's what a soulful life is. It sees the good, you know, from all these different perspectives, and it makes it so. It's like the thread, the golden thread that weaves the fabric of conscience with a capital C. And
we are, you know, soulfulness is consciousness. It's a reverence for all cultures and peoples, and both the individual and the collective. There's one other quote I'd love to read from chapter 23 at the bottom. This is an answer to a question about what the African Council does, you know, in these etheric meetings that they have. So he says, at one point, we see education as preeminent in bringing about the cultural changes that are required for balance and harmony within these nations. Wherever there is ignorance and a lack of trust, there is a breeding ground for what you have seen out pictured as genocide, violence, destruction, war, and all the evils that result from man's inhumanity to man. Therefore, our first attempt is to bring stability through understanding and then greater educational opportunities. We do not necessarily promote the inculcation of Western capitalistic thought and the processes of multinational corporations into the affairs of the peoples of the African continent. We prefer the way of leading through example, through attentiveness to nature, balance, and harmony. We promote the utilization of all resources for the highest good and not for the benefit of those nations that are attempting to extract those resources and the riches of these nations for their own geopolitical or financial profit. So he goes on in greater detail about the dynamic of their work, how vast it is, and how different members of the council focus on different aspects of the work at hand, some in the geopolitical realm, some more on health and human services, some in governments, and then spiritual leaders. So it's really interesting to see how the Universal Brotherhood works throughout these throughout the nations to inculcate a divine culture and these shifts that you've been talking about now for years in awareness to bring people higher, closer, and working toward that unity field. And I this book, I think, will be a game changer for some, because I think when it gets into Africa and when we can get it into the hands of leaders, they'll feel the worth and the value and the validation of who they are, even beyond maybe what they've felt yet. Because with this master who's been there for centuries on the inner, overshining and guiding them, they'll be able to pray to him and have his direction, have his overshining love and this deep abiding sense of brother sisterhood to help them move beyond the conflicts and the and some of the issues in certain nations like Nigeria, where, you know, Nigeria is just rampant with all kinds of graft and greed, and you know, we have to change that culture, but it has to come from within.
Yeah. Well, I really believe that there's just a lot of inspiration in the book, and that with the veil thinning all over the world, you know, and anyone who reads a book like this can tune into the vibration and the light, I think for a lot of people this can be, and they'll, you know, by God's grace, they'll see that picture on the cover, and they'll just kind of tune into it, you know, living a soulful life, you know, all the soul brothers, you know, that just, you know what? You know their identity as a soul brother. A soulful life. I mean, it by God's grace, it will, you know, speak to a lot of people who can find solace and direction and perfection on the path with this book. And David, I'm really grateful for what you're doing. I think it's phenomenal what you're doing at the Heart Center with books like this. Your book on the Saint Germain and Advanced Alchemy earlier in the year, I'm just really, it's my favorite thing in the morning to wake up and check the astrology for the cosmic weather, then go to your website to see what kind of light's being dictated coming through with the heart stream for the day or, you know, recently. And I'm really enjoying, yeah.
Hey, do I have time to read just one little prayer?
Yes, you do.
Okay, this is one that I wrote when I think I was either in Africa or we're coming back from Africa. It's called I Live and Move in Afra's Heart, and it goes like this. The rhythm of the soul I sense, a succate pulsing beat. As violet fire swirls all about, I feel its blazing heat. A dancing, singing, spinning flame that weaves a joyous chord. A cosmic melody of love, intoned as sacred word.
I live and move in Afra's heart. His rhythm guides my soul. In sweet communion with his spirit, I am now made whole. His graciousness and savoir-faire, true brotherhood he knows. Rekindling all within that's pure, my flaming heart now grows. His perfect tact, diplomacy, and tenderness I see. His love inspires my quest for freedom, cosmic liberty. And we repeat the refrain, then I'll go to the last verse. United for a holy purpose, all his Chila see, that Africa now lives as one in perfect harmony. Our voices rise in rhythmic chant, with Afra's aura merge, Arcturus dancing violet fire, we feel its cosmic surge. And then finally the refrain again, I live and move in Afra's heart, his rhythm guides my soul, in sweet communion with his spirit, I am now made whole.
Wow, that's really choice. I mean, I, and a lot of people listening, if they're new to you, David, they don't know how you have, over the last 10 years, created, with the assistance of the masters, how you have streamed beautiful poetry like that from the different masters with different flames, different word pictures, and you have songbooks that you put many of these to song. You have songbooks, you have the invocations with decree books where people can do joint prayer with the science of the spoken word. And this is something that when I discovered what you were doing right up there in Livingston, it just blew my mind. And I'm sure a lot of people are just discovering you yet. And by God's grace, you know, there will be an ongoing revolution in higher consciousness globally. And I think 2016 has the potential to be a phenomenal year. And I'm really glad to see this book out there, you know, to basically set the matrix for a lot of souls firing up. So, David, I want to thank you for being with us today.
Well, thanks. Can I just mention we're going to have an event in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
This month, December 17th through 20th. You can attend online. It's pretty full there locally. We have a prayer vigil for planetary peace in Maui, March 16th through 20th next year. That's going to be with 1,000 Buddhas and peace and aloha. And we also have a wonderful event coming up in San Diego, February 12th through 14th, at Dennis Fisher's home. And Mother Mary comes in support of families, communities, and nations. And she's going to deal with the immigration issue partly, and we're going to do a lot of prayer work on that and meditation. Okay. We'll have a lot of fun, and I invite people to check out our website, heartscenter.org, no apostrophe, heartsplural, center.org. And thank you so much, Christopher.
Oh, you're welcome, David, and look forward to what's coming just around the corner.
Okay, God bless.
God bless. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back in a few weeks. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with Cosmic Love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how Cosmic Love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make Cosmic Love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of Cosmic Love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of Cosmic Love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of Cosmic Love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of Cosmic Love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of Cosmic Love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that Cosmic Love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.